Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, we have a very special guest in the studio today, Annie Moses. The Annie Moses Band has been inspiring and entertaining audiences for over a decade. And I've been listening to them for over a decade. They bring a distinctive style of music across the nation and around the world. As it says right here in front of me, a captivating blend of folk and classical. The Annie Moses Band is a talented ensemble of songwriters, singers, and musicians, combining technical skill with exhilarating showmanship. I want to say something else, and that is they bring a beautiful, humble spirit that wants to exalt Jesus Christ. And that's why I love Annie and the band so much, is because what comes through is not just great music. It is that, but it's Jesus.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm always excited because, you know, oftentimes after concerts, people say, you know, I absolutely loved your music, but the thing I loved the most was, and it almost always has to do with being blessed by seeing a family work together, experiencing kind of the overflow of the obviousness of our joy in making music and the love that we have for each other. And of course, all of that comes from Jesus as the wellspring.
Amen. Amen. How old were you when you learned your first instrument?
Oh, I started violin the week before my fifth birthday, right after my parents moved from Texas, where I was born, to Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, that happening in retrospect now was, you know, a point that God had been very strategically building for several generations in our family.
Yeah. And your siblings, how many of them are still in the band with you?
All of them. So there are six siblings, biological siblings. My parents adopted a little girl from China a couple years ago, so we have a seventh in the family, a little girl named Zoe Maria. And she keeps us on our toes. But as the Annie Moses Band, the six siblings, we've been touring together with my parents now for close to 15 years.
That's tremendous.
And the three oldest of the children, we studied at the Juilliard School, thinking for many years that we were going to pursue classical careers. My parents are award-winning songwriters and were writers in Christian music, so they wrote the song Make His Praise Glorious for Sandy Patty back in the 80s. And you know, we're very well-versed in the realm of Christian music in Nashville. And when we moved to the New York area, we felt a call to do something different with our music than just playing classical string quartets, which is what we had kind of worked toward all of those years. And that's how the Annie Moses Band was born.
Well, and I love the versatility. You folks not only have the talent, but also the technical skill to do, as you say, the classical side and so forth.
Right.
But you don't stop there. Years ago, I had a music professor in the town where I lived, a little college town. And it was Youth Sunday. I was a teenager. And this fellow, who was classically trained, always played in the worship services. Now on Youth Sunday, we were hoping that he would be able to let his hair down, do something a little more relaxed. And so we met with him, and we asked if he could do the old gospel song, He Lives Within My Heart. And so he began playing it, and it just didn't sound right. It sounded like a classical musician who was, you know, and so we said, well, yes, that's the song, but, and we were stammering around trying to find a way to tell this great musician that, you know, this, you're not getting it. And he said, I know what you want. What you want is this. And he played it almost honky-tonk style.
Yes.
I mean, just a riot. And we were like, yes, yes. And he said, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
So you have this refreshing versatility that is able to take folks places that some of them have never been before. And well, that's great.
That's what we want to do. I mean, it was something where, you know, the classical music world is very much centered upon, reinterpreting, you know, the great creations of the past. And,
yes.
And that's a very noble calling, but it just wasn't my calling.
Yes.
And so, you know, for me, classical music became a toolbox by which we could find a deeper point of personal expression.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that revolved around our faith,
mm-hmm.
Our family life, and the things that we wanted to speak into culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is that we've been able to use the platform of our excellence and our virtuosity to reach places and audience that are normally not reached by Christian music artists.
Yes.
And that's been very exciting.
Amen. And that's wonderful. I wonder now, how much of the year are you on the road, would you say?
Oh, goodness. We do, somewhere around 70 concerts a year, depending on the year. Sometimes it's closer to the 60s. Sometimes it's a little over 80. It just kind of depends upon how things fall. But we're about to go into our busiest touring season at Christmas, and we'll be out for 4 weeks straight, and it'll be about 23 shows and 26 days or something like that.
And you have three young children. How old is your oldest? I just met them.
Yes. David, my son, is going, is six. Vincenza, my daughter, just turned four.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a brand new baby, Juliet, who's 3 months. And so, yeah, we have a very, very busy, I don't know, we're only two steps away from, you know, the circus.
Well, it does definitely add an additional dimension of challenge when you have three little children on the road with you.
Yes, it does. But, you know, they've been on the road since they were born.
So this is normal to them.
And so they don't see it in quite so the, I don't know, they don't see it so quite so exceptionally as everyone else.
They don't watch a lot of TV?
You know, they watch a little bit, but they are, they're really smart kids. And it's funny because a life on the road necessarily makes them learn all sorts of skills,
mm-hmm.
especially interpersonal,
mm-hmm.
Social skills.
Yes.
That, you know, you would never otherwise have the chance to learn. So I don't know. My son, if he ever decides he wants to run for president, will be very well versed in meeting all sorts of people at all hours of the day.
That is great. That is great. Well, he was a delightful young man.
Thank
you. And very happy, since he was enjoying one of the ranch's cats. He was very happy to point out that his dad is allergic to cats, which provided an instant bond with me because I'm allergic to cats. So that was a good thing. And,
yes.
And your son wanted us to know. He thought it was remarkable to have two people who are both allergic to cats. I'm presuming that means mom is not.
I am not allergic to animals. And my husband is very deathly allergic to animals. It's like, if you would like to kill my husband in a few short minutes, you could just put him in a room with a bunch of cats and it would be over.
Now, what do they make violin strings from?
Well, you know, not catgut anymore, but, you know, they do say that from way back when, 700 years ago. Yeah, it was, yes, all sorts of animals.
I would think your husband might have found that one of the most endearing things about you, is that... No, I'm very grateful that when I met your family, your children were delightful. Of course, Juliet didn't have a lot to say, but...
She's at the the bubble stage.
Yes, yes, but it's nice. I've met a lot of children of celebrities, shall we say, and not all of them seem well adjusted.
Oh.
Your kids were just precious. They seemed like
you.
Children.
Thank you.
They seemed like nice children, and that was refreshing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As you travel, you not only travel the States, but you've traveled abroad. What are some of the things you've seen elsewhere that have really had an impact on your life?
Goodness, lots of thoughts come to mind. Probably the most amazing experience that we had was about 7 years ago. We had the opportunity to perform in North Korea. That was a part of an arts festival,
mm-hmm.
that North Korea holds every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's held over the week just after Easter. And so we performed two times over a five-day period there in Pyongyang. That was probably the most eye-opening, one of the most eye-opening kind of geopolitical experiences of my life.
Yeah, an experience that very few people, even if they wanted desperately to go, very few people have that opportunity.
Yeah, it was, it took, there were many hoops to jump through before we got there. And we were going in with a fairly large American contingency, but we were just, it was so striking to come face to face with a country who is both profoundly ignorant and profoundly arrogant. You know, on the one hand, you know, the people that were with us would say things like, "Oh, you are so lucky to come to Pyongyang, because in just 4 years, Pyongyang will be the most advanced and beautiful city in all the world." And then they'll say, "Now, we hear you have this thing called the internet. What is the internet?"
Yes.
You know, and it's like both sentences come, you know, right out of the same mouth within almost back to back. And yet they are so hungry for God, so hungry for people who are real.
Yes.
Everyone postures all the time. And so to have anyone that would speak honestly or openly, to hear people who come into a place and not be afraid, that was a very unique thing for them. So it was a profound opportunity for us to be a light, to say the things that are important to say.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. You were speaking about Voice of the Martyrs earlier when we were getting ready for the interview. And, you know, North Korea is the number one most persecuted place in the whole world.
Absolutely.
Which is just a profound thought, because, of course, your immediate, your mind immediately goes to Egypt and the Middle East and Indonesia and, you know, all these different places that are kind of bell ringers for us.
Yes.
But North Korea, like the number one place in the whole world. And so it was, that was an amazing opportunity. We've also performed in Europe and enjoyed seeing, if, you know, you go play in a place like Paris and it's of course beautiful, and you just are amazed by the beauty and the history of the place. But also just aware too that everywhere you go in the world, people are people.
Amen.
And they have the same needs.
Exactly.
And
there's only one.
It's the same answer.
That's exactly right. There is only one who can save.
Yes, exactly.
And wherever you go, I completely agree. Last year, I visited several countries for a length of time, and along the way stopped in a bunch of other countries. And I mean, everywhere we went, as you said, you are reminded people have the same basic need. Everybody needs a savior. And Jesus is the only one who can really deliver. And he really delivers.
All right.
Now, Annie, as you look toward the future, your husband is a gracious guy, and he voiced no complaints and showed no signs of no signs of disappointment about this life you all are living. But, you know, this is a challenging life. It's filled with challenges, week after week, month after month, year after year, and yet you've been doing this since you were a teen. When you look toward the future, do you ever wish you could just go to Branson or Pigeon Forge and have a music theater and settle down, let the crowds come to you?
Oh, you know, Jim, I never really ask myself that question even. I mean, there is a difficulty to the road, but I think actually the difficulty of the road is very much secondary to the challenge of what it is to be a messenger of God.
Amen.
In a time in which the arts are the greatest sphere of influence in our world.
Yeah.
And that degree of influence is profound, and yet there is just only an infinitesimal amount of great artistry being created that is reflective of the beauty of Jesus or the life he's designed us to live.
Amen.
And so for us as a band, as a family, one of the great callings we have is to inspire young artists. We have a nonprofit called the Annie Moses Foundation that's built around this idea that we are losing the battle for mm-hmm. the hearts of this generation through the influence of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of, well, I don't know. I just turned 34, so I guess I'm an old millennial. But, you know, it's like the first decade of this century,
mm-hmm.
Eminem was the number one selling artist of the first decade.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all of just the filth.
Yes.
You know, you can't open up your iTunes app and look at the releases, the new releases window on any given day and not be aware that every single thing that's out there, there's just so much of it that is rooted in some level of pornography, some level of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider, I don't remember, I heard some statistic the other day that was just, I couldn't hardly even fathom the statistic. But it had to do with, you know, the number of total views on YouTube.
Mm.
You know, and it was like billions, like 18 billion. It was like
number.
I thought we
it's
are.
It's like everybody's watching.
We are reaching the national debt level, you know, on YouTube. And I thought to myself, you know, how will my children
mm-hmm.
combat that
mm-hmm.
in everyday life? You know, you're talking about how little my children are, and you know, do they watch TV? No, we don't struggle with the TV. We struggle with the phone.
Ah, yes. That's true. That's true.
Is the struggle.
You're right.
The TV was my struggle.
Yeah.
For them, it's the phone.
Yep.
It's that you can see and hear anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
In both
senses of the word.
In both senses of the word. It's cheap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have a summer academy for young artists that's meant both to challenge them technically, but also in help them find their own musical and artistic pulse. Because what mm-hmm. we need young people of incredible skill going into these spheres of influence that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the greatest, you know, the next Netflix hit
mm-hmm.
was written by a believer.
Praise
and
God.
That the next, you know, Hamilton the musical
mm-hmm.
is written by a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the executives at the movie companies and the people that are creating this content
mm-hmm.
are people who are believers
mm-hmm.
and they're not just people who are interested in kind of creating stuff for the Christian subculture.
Right.
They're interested in taking over. It's a takeover, which I don't know if I'm free to use that kind of language on
yes.
this program, but, you know, I think all the time about, you know, that scripture where, you know, Jesus says, occupy until I come.
Amen.
You know, that word occupy, that's a very militant
yes.
term. It means that you take the territory and you control it.
Amen.
And in the realm of the arts, the church hasn't done a very good job of doing that.
Amen. And that's sad.
Time.
For a long time. I think one thing that will help make that happen is when we realize that the number one audience for our work is God. We're not just, as you said, buying or building stuff, making stuff, creating stuff in order to serve the Christian subculture.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just trying to get something that's going to impact the larger population. But first and foremost, we want to do what we do for the glory of God. In Scripture, God commanded that there were to be musicians. And he's the one who gifted and anointed people with the ability to do what you do. And he wants to listen.
Mm.
He wants to enjoy. And the great masterpieces that did impact the culture for centuries were written by people who weren't just writing for the masses.
Right.
And they weren't just writing for the elite.
Mm-hmm.
They were writing for God.
Right.
They were producing beauty as a reflection of gratitude for the one who is the creator of beauty.
Right.
And when that happens, that makes an impact.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, like, I think it's Chesterton, you know, said mm-hmm. in one of his books, he talked about the fact that part of being made in God's image is that God is a creator. And
yes.
in that way, we are sub-creators.
Yes.
And, you know, all through the scriptures, I mean, dozens and dozens of times, sing to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
play to the Lord, play mm-hmm. skillfully,
mm-hmm.
play these instruments, dance for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of those scriptures, are taken very kind of poetically and frivolously mm-hmm. within the church. And I suppose that's my soapbox, but there is a fact that in our culture, we very much kind of consider music and sports for young people kind of alternate to each other. Well, some people are athletic and some people are musical. And that's real. I mean, that's really not a correct comparison because music is a spiritual gift.
Amen.
It'd be like saying, well, you know, my kid's good at praying, but my other child's good at checkers. You know, if they don't, they're not equivalent.
Right.
And you know, in churches today in America, particularly westernized churches, mm-hmm. we spend millions and millions of dollars on gymnasiums mm-hmm. and stadiums mm-hmm. and, oh, goodness, Xboxes, cappuccino and cafe and all this stuff. When, functionally speaking, all we give to children musically is glorified karaoke.
Yep.
While all these little Mozarts and Beethovens run through our halls. Mm-hmm. And we think that it's the job of a school system mm-hmm. that doesn't even acknowledge that God exists.
Right.
It's somehow the school's job to educate them in the realm of the arts. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder that we have a whole generation of young people who have grown up as artistic suckers, mm-hmm. unable to discern matters of skill or matters of theology mm-hmm. or philosophy. Mm-hmm. And yet, the enemy is very adept.
Amen.
He's very clever. Mm-hmm. And our young people, we feast upon undeclared sermons mm-hmm. in little white earbuds.
Yes.
And little 20-minute TV shows on Netflix that mm-hmm. we think are, you know,
neutral.
Neutral or not, you know, if they're bad, it's just a little bit bad.
Right.
And
right.
And yet the overall effect of that released within our culture is powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful in the negative.
Absolutely.
And for us, it's just very important that we counter that, mm-hmm. and I think that that's been, it's been probably the hardest thing that we've done in our careers mm-hmm. is determining that was a priority for us.
Praise God.
We just finished up work on a brand new little album called What Every Child Needs to Know About God.
Wonderful.
What Every Child Should Know About God, I should say. And that project was so important to us because it was 12 short scripture songs, beautifully performed by Annie Moses Band and friends. Mm-hmm. And because, again, my own children, I think, they're growing up in a Christian home, but they are entering a world of dangers.
Yes.
And I have to plant the words of Jesus very deep within their heart.
Praise God.
That they have an idea of who he is, what he's about, what he wants them to do on this earth.
Praise God. Well, I am so grateful you've been obedient to the call. I'm so grateful you're my sister in Christ. And that God has brought you here to Ware's Valley Ranch.
Me too.
From what you've seen today, is it a nice place?
Oh my goodness, it's beautiful here. We were, as we were driving in, we didn't know that what we were looking at was Ware's Valley Ranch, but we were driving up and my husband pointed over, he said, "Isn't that just the most beautiful place you ever saw?" And then we drove up to the road, it was like, "Oh, this is it."
Praise God.
We're here. It was just beautiful.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for doing what you do. Know that our prayers are with you, and we ask God to richly reward you and continue to bless you.
Thank you, Jim.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.